Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling. I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling. Like, you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get was a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Cade Moyer, and you are listening to the Believe Paranormal and UFO Podcast. If you have had an encounter and would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. If you enjoy the podcast, be sure to leave us a rating or review wherever you listen and head on over to our website, believepod.com, and consider becoming a member to get bonus episodes and video content. So these encounters, they started to happen to you when you're about 21 years old. Do you want to go back to that period of your life and explain where it all started for you?
Yeah, well, it's a long time ago now for me. I think we're probably going back to the mid to late 80s. I was living with my partner. She was around about the same age, maybe a little bit younger. We lived down in country Victoria. My partner, who's now my wife, she struck a friendship with a woman who was a little bit older than her. I haven't spoken to this lady for a long, long time, many years, so I don't know if I have her permission to discuss it, but we'll just call her Chrissy for the sake of the interview. So my wife Tanya, she struck up this friendship. I'd take her in every afternoon. She lived in a neighbouring town. I'd take her in. She'd have an afternoon with Chrissy. I'd go off and do what 21-year-old blokes do, sort of have a bit of bloke time, I suppose. That was all good. I remember. There was one period there where we were discussing Chrissy. I really didn't get to know her at all. But we were discussing her and Tanya turned to me. She said, you know, somebody told me that she's a white witch. So,
what's a white witch?
I'm a 21-year-old. Well, exactly. So I'm a 21-year-old and, you know, back in those days, like most 21-year-olds, you're full of beans, and you wouldn't call it arrogance, but you're certainly very, very confident of yourself. So I've turned to Tanya. I've said to her something along the lines of, "What a load of bollocks." Anyway, she said, "No, look, it's true. So and so told me she's a white witch, and she can talk to the dead, and she can do this, she can do that, she can see into the future." I'm thinking, "Oh my goodness, what a load of nonsense, you know." Anyway, being an overconfident, or maybe not overconfident, but very confident young person, I said to her, "Look, when you go to see her next weekend, talk to her. I want to know all about this white witch business." "Yeah, right. No worries." So I take her over the following weekend. She has a day. She comes back. "Tell me about this white witch stuff." Look, she didn't really want to talk about it. She told me little snippets. She admitted she is, but she you know, really didn't want to go any further. And righto. Anyway, as the week went on, I thought, well, bugger it. I'm going to get to know this lady, and I'm going to find out about this business. So the next visit that Tanya had, I came in with her, and you know, introductions here, these days, one you've heard about, so on and so forth. So I sort of got to know her a little bit, got a little bit of chat going, and then I started to question her. And again, she just, I'd say, tried to fob me off, but you know, she didn't really want to engage in it. But I wasn't having any of that. I just kept probing her. Anyway, this went on for, you know, several weeks. And you know, I got snippets out of her, little bits around. Yes, she can talk to dead people. She knows when there are spirits around. She knows when there are black witches around. She has mind battles with more these sorts of things. And I'm thinking, what a load of nonsense, you know. Anyway, but I was amused by it and just sort of played the game, and that was all good. Anyway, it was around this time that my father became quite sick and ended up passing away. So, probably importantly for the story, my parents split when I was about five or six. I don't remember, I only remember little sort of bits and pieces about that life with Dad. Never really got to know him until I'd sort of got my license and I'd sort of spent a little bit of time sort of driving into Melbourne to meet up with him and sort of get to know him again. And we were just sort of starting to develop that father-son relationship when he passed away. So, you know, I was obviously a bit emotional about that. And of course, this is the time that I'm talking with Chrissy. And, you know, having passed away, I found myself talking to Chrissy about it. Anyway, she started telling me sort of snippets about where he was and how he was and those sorts of things. This is my deceased father. Anyway, one thing led to another, and she said, look, I can't remember who organised it, but we organised a seance. So, yeah, there's me setting up a seance with this white witch. So part of me, half of me wanted to catch her out. That was the overconfident 21-year-old in me, wanted to catch her out and just prove it to be a load of nonsense. But the other half of me, which was, you know, still emotional about the death of my father, sort of wanted it to be real, if you like. Anyway, we set it up. It had to be done close to midnight, apparently, which it was. You know, we arrived. She had the spirit board set up. There was one other person with her, and I can't for the life of me remember who it was. So it was Chrissy. It was this other person. I don't think I knew them, or if I did know them, I didn't know them very well. Myself and Tanya. So the four of us seated ourselves around this spirit board. So the letters are spelled out around the peripheral of the board. We've got a glass sitting upside down. I'm feeling around under the table to see if I can find the magnets, all those sorts of things. Anyway, we kicked it off. We had to hold hands. Chrissy said some, whatever it was that she said, I can't remember exactly, but it was almost like a B-grade horror movie sort of thing, and I'm sitting there thinking, what on earth? Anyway, I then hear this ungodly noise from the back of the room. Now, she had this budgie in a cage in the corner. You'd never even know she had it. It just sat there and did absolutely nothing. But on this occasion, she said certain words. She'd sort of come to the crescendo, now she built up to saying whatever it was she had to say to get the spirits, and this bloody bird went off its nut. It just went crazy and finally dwelled out of me. But then when it settled down, it only went crazy for, you know, a few seconds. And Christine said, they're here. Or something to that effect. We've crossed over or something like that. Right. What's next sort of thing. Anyway, she had us put our fingers on the glass. It was a heavy-duty glass, you know, not something you can sort of push around that easily. And it started to move. So there's me thinking, right, who's pushing it? So I've almost taken my finger off it. I had absolutely no weight on this thing at all. It started spelling out words, or a particular word, which was aimed at me, apparently, and it was relevant to something that had occurred between myself and my partner, which I didn't think anyone knew about. Anyway, my partner, Tanya, got a little bit spooked and took a finger off the glass. So we were left with three fingers on the glass. Mine was barely touching it, let alone influencing it. I had somebody, Chrissy, directly in front of me and this person on the left. This glass was doing things, and I'm watching their fingers really closely. And this glass is at speed. I want to say at speed. It was certainly moving under power. And it was spelling out words and phrases which meant things. And I, you know, you could see the two people that could have had an influence on it. You could see their fingers. If they were going to have an influence, they would be pushing it one way. No, this thing was going the other way. And there's no way in the world these people were influencing the movement of this glass. And it's spelling out these bits and pieces, some of them which were notably complimentary. Apparently, this was somebody that's on my partner's side, someone I didn't know of, and I don't think she really knew much about her either. But, you know, Tanya had sort of become a bit spooked, and obviously she'd taken her fingers off it. Anyway, I was a little bit stumped, a little bit spellbound. I could not account for, one, this thing moving, not the way it was, and two, the things that it was spelling out. But anyway, we got through that, and then Chrissy said, "Your father is here." So I got that little bit of a feeling in the belly, and it started to move again. So this was my father speaking to me, apparently. So it started to spell out what looked like "I love you," which that's what it spells out. And I'm thinking, well, you know, that's nice, that's lovely. But then it followed up with the words "little sport." That was what floored me. Absolutely floored me. There were three people in the world. Only two of them left, knew about little sport. That was Dad's pet name for me when I was a toddler. 2, 3, 4. I barely remember it, but I do remember it. It, however, was buried that far in my memory, even if Chrissy was a mind reader, she still wouldn't have found it. It was buried that deeply. The only other person on the living earth who knew about it was my mother. Who didn't know Chrissy, and she wasn't there. The only other person that knew about it was Dad. And he's dead.
Did that just break that whole paradigm for you then? Because going into this, you were quite skeptical.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, I've gone into this seance thinking, what a load of nonsense. This thing is just spelt out, "I love you, little sport."
Wow.
That was my father speaking to me. Now, I'm sure you've got listeners out there that I can't explain how I felt at that point. you know, as human beings, we have to make sense of things. That's the way we're wired. And we have choices. We can talk our way through things. We have the fight or flight ability, amongst a number of other things. We have some element of control over every situation that we can find ourselves in. In this situation that was gone, I had no control whatsoever. My father has spelt out, "I love you, little sport." My wife is sitting on the right-hand side of his boot, with a spastic budgie behind me that just went nuts when it all kicked in. And I remember looking up at this woman in front of me who was close enough to touch, looking into her eyes, thinking, this is not a normal human.
Wow. Wow. That would have really just tipped everything upside down for you.
Oh, yeah, I just can't explain how I felt. You know the thing about it. That's all I can remember of that night. That's it. That's everything. Every other detail, I remember thinking about it a couple of days later. But it's like that. What happened after that? It's like that's been erased from my memory. It's really peculiar. You know, and I do remember days after it just torturing myself, thinking, how has this happened? It took me days, it probably took me a week, to really justify, hang on, it's real. There is just no other way around it. This has happened. This is real. So, sort of once I'd come to terms with it, right or wrong, I had to get back and see Chrissy, you know. I just needed to talk about it. I just sort of needed, I had answers, but I just felt that I needed to talk about it to justify what had happened. So we went back to see Chrissy. I can't remember, it might have been days, might have been weeks after, a little bit hazy on that. But, when I walked into Chrissy's place, it was with a completely different attitude, let me tell you that. I'm not quite in awe of her, but, you know, again, that feeling of this is not a normal human being that I'm about to talk to, you know.
Yeah.
I'm in her house and she has abilities that are way beyond anything I'd ever dreamt of, you know. So we... You know, we sat down and, she could obviously sense sort of how I was feeling. And I was quite emotional about it as well, you know, cause this was my father sort of thing. Anyway, we for a couple of hours, sort of, we skirted around it, then we discussed it in full and a few other bits and pieces. And it would have been a couple of hours sort of into it. I'm sitting on the couch, I'm sitting on a two-seater. Chrissy was in front of me and there was no one next to me. Tanya was on a two-seater, sort of on the side. Anyway, we are chatting away, talking about Dad and things that had occurred and were occurring. And then it happened. I don't know how to explain it. Something arrived next to me. There's nothing there. Nothing that the human senses could pick up on. I couldn't see anything. Couldn't hear it. Certainly couldn't touch it. Well, not that I tried to. Couldn't smell anything. Couldn't taste anything. This entity, it just arrived on the seat next to me and with enough of a... I might say enough of a bang, but it arrived and I launched off the couch. There's like an energy. That just 1 minute I'm talking, next minute, what the hell is that? And I launched off the couch and I looked into Chrissy's eyes. What the F was that? She had a smile on her face. She said, Your father was sitting next to you.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God Almighty.
I would have been a mess.
I was. I do not know how to explain how I felt. But what I will say, I didn't feel in fear of anything while I had Chrissy there, you know. I looked back at the couch and I wouldn't sit there. I wasn't right back there. And I could feel it sitting there, you know. And after that, it's all blank again. just like after the seance, I cannot remember the remainder of that afternoon for the life of me.
Really? I wonder if there's like just... Because this is such a highly emotionally charged situation that your mind just kind of blanks out on everything else because you've just had this highly, highly prolific moment in your life happen again.
Yeah, that's one possibility. Whether it went beyond that and it's purposely been blanked, I don't know. I'll never know the answer to that. But I find it peculiar that, you know, after those two events, I just had no recollection of what followed.
After you've had these encounters with this white witch, did that change your perspective of the paranormal? Like, did your complete attitude change from that? Because, you know, these are fairly world-shattering kind of encounters that you're having. Did that make you want to go down the rabbit hole of finding out more about that?
Yes, it did. That took me in some pretty interesting directions. What frightened me about this initially, and after the seance, I do remember thinking, after going through it over and over in my mind, thinking, no, this is real. It's real. I just can't. This is real. It then cast my mind back to some of the conversations that I'd had with Chrissy, albeit conversations I had with a different attitude, highly amused. Conversations we'd had about good, about evil, about possession, amongst other things. I remember thinking, I was talking to my dad, it's real, it's real, it's real, Chrissy's real. Oh no, this is a double-edged sword. Chrissy's told me some things that, I hope are not real, you know. But I was sort of going forward, I've probably found out a little bit more about that. One of the things that, because I'd opened up my mind to all of this, and it's funny, I bought a book called The Celestine Prophecy, and it was written by James Redfielder, I think, back at the time. And it talked about similar sort of things. It talked about coincidences in your life, pathways that open up in front of you, all those sorts of things. And just so happened I bought this around the same time that all this was happening, and I do remember I discussed a lot of that with Chrissy, and she more or less validated, you know, a number of things that were in that book. So I was going down that path, and what I found, Cade, was I started to develop, important abilities, but things. I started dreaming consistently, almost every night, and I wasn't a dreamer, if you like. But I found the dreams were coinciding with certain events that were occurring in my life or around my life. And what I realized, it wasn't what I was dreaming. It was the outcomes of the dreams were basically telling me what was about to occur in real life. Now that sounds peculiar. But,
kind of like premonitions.
Well, almost. If we had a big event coming up that we knew about. It might be a work event. It, when I say event, it might have been we're going to pull these turbines apart and we're going to do this, this and this, and highly high-risk work, dangerous work. We're going to be up doing this, that and the other. I would have dreams before we go and do it. And it, the dreams may not have, they weren't necessarily about what was about to happen. What I learned to do was read the outcomes of the dreams, the tones of the dreams. And if the, the outcomes of the dreams, the tones were negative, I knew something negative was going to happen and it was going to happen soon. And lo and behold, somebody would fall off a scaffold and break their leg, or somebody would have a car accident, or you know, something to that effect. I probably went for 12 months where I was able to read my dreams and read the outcomes of those dreams, whereby I could accurately predict, knowing what events we had coming up, I could almost predict those outcomes to a T.
Wow, really?
No doubt that I developed some sort of sense that allowed me to do that. And if there were no events coming up and I had a dream with a negative outcome, I knew something was going to come out of the blue, and invariably it would. Whether if not to me, to somebody close to me. And it was scary, to be honest with you.
I was going to say, that would give a lot of people a lot of anxiety about the future. And now, a quick word from our sponsor.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
Well, it did. And I looked up, there were days where I'd have a negative dream and I'd try to associate it with something that's cropping, about to crop up or coming up or whatever. And there was nothing coming up. Life was just sort of plain normal. And it had me thinking, shit, something's going to happen here. And it had me walking on eggshells. And I, can you don't walk there? Let's not do that. You know, just knowing that something's not right and something's going to come out of the blue, and let's say, you know, invariably it would. You know, these are things that I'd sort of developed, you know, sort of amongst other crazy dreams and things that maybe didn't make a lot of sense, but. You know, this is real. This is something that I developed. And the more that I was able to harness that, the more I wanted to delve further. And you know, I talked to Christine about these things. And Christine was the type, she wouldn't want to push any of this on you. She didn't. I had to probe her. And there were times when I knew she knew things, that didn't want to tell me. But what I would get from her is a nod, or she'd give me a positive response some other way. It was as if she's got some sort of code that says I'm not allowed to go and tell people what's about to happen, you know. We just sort of developed that. I could sort of understand her. She was telling me things without telling me things, if you like, in a lot of respects. But they weren't all good, and sort of all came to a bit of a grinding halt there one night.
How do you think you got these abilities? Do you think it was maybe something you had all along, but you just weren't open to the world of the paranormal? Because, and I kind of hate to interject on stories like this, but and kind of. I don't want to swing the narrative or anything, but I hear quite frequently that people who have an encounter with the paranormal, it kind of opens up that gateway and things are never the same after that again. Do you think this was potentially what happened here with you?
I think you put it perfectly, to be honest with you. Look, I think we all have these abilities. I think our conscious minds won't let us delve into a lot of this stuff. And I did have some situations sort of further down the track that would probably validate that a little bit. But I sort of hit a roadblock one night. And so I was in bed, you know, with my partner. This is probably 12 months after, you know, all of the other stuff had happened. And I was having my dreams and I was sort of opening my mind up more and more. And the more that happened, the more interested I was. I was always mindful of some of the things that we had talked about sort of previously. You know, a lot of those negatives, you know, talk about, you know, evil entities and all those sorts of things. Anyway, one night, we'd gone to bed, it all was normal. And then I remember floating above my body. So I'm inverted. So my back's facing the roof. My stomach's facing the bed. I'm looking down. I'm floating up towards the ceiling, looking at me asleep and looking at my partner. Now, I can only ever remember one instance of actually doing this. And I started floating along the window side and then another left turn along the main wall towards the door. I don't know where I was going. I was doing a lap of the room from roof height, the ceiling height, looking down, and I remember moving towards the door. And something stopped me abruptly before I went through, and I could feel another entity at the same height that I was. It was outside the kitchen window, under the carport, and it was looking for a way in.
Oh, really?
How the hell I knew that, I don't know. But I'm at the door to the bedroom, above the door to the bedroom, looking down on my body and my partner, and somehow I could feel this entity outside the kitchen, which was the other side of the house, looking for a way in. Now, I remembered immediately some of the conversations I'd had with Chrissy about possession, about spirits, about those that are lost in between, so on and so forth, and that frightened the hell out of me. And, I remember shooting straight back into my body. I remember on my back, my eyes just going from dead shut to open. I remember saying to myself, I've got to stop doing this. Now, I can't remember ever having an out-of-body experience before, but I remember distinctly telling myself, stop doing it, stop leaving your body. And again, I was in that, I remember I was in that that stage between sleep. Now, you, 1 minute you're asleep, you don't just wake up, you're not fully conscious. You go through a bit of a groan and a this and that and the other, and then bang, your consciousness steps in. I remember I was somewhere in that zone, and when I actually woke up, thinking to myself, what did I just say to myself? I remembered what I said to myself. I was in that zone. And I just lay there the entire night thinking, what the hell's going on? You know, what has just happened? Now, I don't know if that whatever was floating around outside was evil. I don't know. I don't know what it was. Then again, I don't know why it was there. And I know that I'd left my body. And no, that was it. I went back to Christine sort of several days after that. And I said, look, this has occurred. And I said, this is what I feared. And I've got to shut the door on this. I said, this is getting out of control. I just feel that I'm delving in too far. I got that knowing look from Chrissy and almost like a look of approval. So I sort of tried to shut the door on it there and then. I pretty much did. Dreams, well, it happened occasionally, but the frequency of the dream stopped. And sort of life sort of returned a little bit to normal, I guess. I still went and saw Chrissy from time to time, but I really stopped delving at that point. I was just too frightened of where it was going to take me.
So where does that leave you now? Because it's hard to shut a door once it's been opened. And, you know, there's always going to be gaps in the frame, so to say. Do you find that even though you've, you know, essentially kind of drawn a line in the sand of the paranormal and, you know, have said no more, do you find that that world still leaks in every now and then?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, you're absolutely spot on. It doesn't leave you, and I'm mindful of that. But, you know, I've still had, you know, a handful of experiences. I remember waking up on the couch. My grandmother had died. When my parents split, we went and lived with our grandparents. I was very, very close with my grandmother. I went from sleep into that half sleep, straight into consciousness, like consciousness, like you do, like every human does. I remember opening my eyes and bang, there she was. She died several weeks earlier, but she was standing in front of me looking down on me. And, I mean, this is going, you know, 10, 15 years after I'd sort of tried to slam the door shut. But, you know, she died. She since my father had died, she was the next cab off the rank as far as, you know, people that were close to me. You know, one thing that Chrissy said was, you know, they hang around for a little while. You know, we talked about heaven. We talked about places that are not heaven. We talked about the in-between. But, you know, she said that they hang around and watch over you for a while. And, you know, I woke up. I was briefly in that realm between, you know, asleep, fully conscious. And it was within that realm I could see her standing there looking down on me. And as soon as I snapped into full consciousness, she was gone.
Really?
It was one other, I would say, life-changing event, which chills me. I say chills me, not in a bad way, but a sort of a bit of a wow sort of a way. I ended up joining the Navy as an older recruit, and this is well and truly after all of the paranormal experiences. Anyway, we're on Sydney Harbour there one day. I was wanting to do a ship's diver's course. So they'd taken us out on a small boat into the middle of the harbour. And we had to don all the gear. We had to dive under the boat. We then had to purge the masks. And what that requires is you basically put your mask off. And you have to blow hard to purge the water out of it and then get the mask back on. So I've dived in under the boat and tried to pull the mask off, tried to purge it, and made an absolute mess of it. And, but I'm under the boat, couldn't get the water out, couldn't get the air in. And you know when you have those experiences and you think, oh God, I'm going to die or whatever. You know, they talk about people's lives flashing before their eyes.
Yeah.
That happened to me, except the life that flashed before my eyes was not my own.
Really?
Yeah, really. And what I remember, having visions, they were Navy visions. So I had a vision of being in a compartment that was full of water, filling rapidly. We were on a lean. There were explosions. And I was drowning along with the people in the compartment with me. So I got myself out of the water, threw the mask down and said a few choice words along the lines of, I think I'll pass on this. I don't want to be ship's driver. Anyway, I went home. The ship was alongside the maintenance superior. Went back home to Tanya, told Tanya about it. She almost went white. Said, you know, what do you think of that? What's wrong? What's the matter? She said, you remember Chrissy talked about past lives? I said, do. Remember she said you and I were together in a past life? I said, yes, I do. She said, remember why we're meant to be together? No, remind me. She said, in our past life, I lost you at war.
That's a mind-bending experience. How do you process that?
Well, look, I having spoken with Christine at sort of at length regarding a lot of this stuff, and with a lot of, I mean, there are other things that have occurred that, you know, I haven't spoken about tonight, but, you know, I believe in past lives. I believe we live more than once. In fact, I believe we live a number of times. I personally believe I was having visions of me in a past life. That was, when I say it wasn't my life, it's not my current one. Was that me dying in a war as per what Chrissy described? Back when Tanya and I were together in a past life, if you like.
It really makes you wonder that traumatic experience just opened up, you know, a gateway to what that past life was. You know, like there had to be some type of connection from that exact experience that you were having to that previous life.
Yeah, well, you know, I probably didn't mention deja vu, but, you know, that's been a big part of my life. You know, since I opened up my mind to a lot of this stuff, but, you know, I look back at it and I think, well, it's quite odd. I didn't want to join the Navy as a kid. As I got older, I developed this desire to do it. All I wanted to do was go and serve, you know, go active, all those sorts of things. When I say active service, and once I did that, I couldn't get out of the Navy quick enough. I mean, I look back at that and say to myself, was I just trying to fulfill something that I started in a previous life and obviously didn't get to finish, you know?
Does that make you feel like you're... This might sound like a silly question, but does that make you feel like your past life was trying to rob your quality of life that you're having now?
I don't know. You know, I do believe we, as I said, I believe we live more than once. I believe that we were given every opportunity to evolve as people, as humans, as entities, whatever we are. I believe pathways are put in front of you. I just look back and map out my life and think, well, how on earth did I achieve these things? How could this have opened up in front of me? Who would have thought? And I'm no different to a lot of people, you know. I believe you do get set. You have those pathways put in front of you and you have choices. And I think you live more than once and you're given that opportunity to evolve, and you either evolve or you don't, where you go from there, I don't know. But look, you know, certainly when I look back over my life and a lot of the things that have occurred and a lot of the conversations with Chrissy, a lot of it makes sense, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, Dave, you've been an absolute incredible guest. The experiences that you've had have been incredible, and the way that they've altered your life has really kind of, it sounds like it's set you on a whole new path of enlightenment, of understanding, and I guess of future growth, that you're not scared to look into it. And I think the outcome from everything is that it's, you know, majority has been positive. And even though you've kind of closed the door to that world, it's not fully shut itself off to you, but it sounds like you know how to approach the rest of your life going forward because of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly look at events, look at pathways differently, and you know, I still have the odd dream here or there, and I still certainly take notice of that. But you know, I haven't had a lot of experiences sort of in recent years, although I still have a habit of picking up the phone to answer it before it rings. But apart from that, it's been pretty quiet in recent years. But, I've certainly take notice of a lot more things nowadays than maybe I would have when I was younger, and add a lot more credence to a lot of the pathways that I see opening up.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Believe Paranormal and UFO podcast. If you have had an encounter and you would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. Finally, don't forget to follow us on all our social media outlets and be sure to join our Discord server to talk to other listeners of the show. You'll find all these links in our show notes. Thank you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.